Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my first week teaching on a brand new subject that I have entitled, As I Have Loved You. That's a new album that I have out. This was recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar in Houston, Texas, and I just thought it was really powerful. And so I've got a 5-part teaching on this. We've already covered the very first teaching, which was entitled A New Commandment. And today we're going into the second teaching in this set, talking about God's love never fails. And I really wished I had a way to summarize quickly what I've been saying, but I don't. It's talking about a new way of accomplishing the same thing that was spoken in the Old Testament. The Old Testament compelled people to live holy, but it did it through fear of punishment. And you had to do what was right in order to be accepted with God. In the New Testament, Jesus came and did everything for us and just offers relationship with God as a gift. You don't earn it. It's not based on your goodness. It's not tied to your performance. You just receive it. And then that love of God, if you receive the love of God, it compels you to live a holy life. And holiness becomes a byproduct, a fruit of salvation and not the root. So really, you, in a sense, if you're using this analogy, the New Testament produces the same fruit as the Old Testament, but it gets there in a totally different direction. Instead of being pushed into it, browbeat into it, fear of judgment and punishment with harshness and it's hard and it's effort. Now in the New Testament, you just receive the love of God. You receive relationship with God as a total free gift. And then this supernatural, God's kind of love compels you to live holy. And you fulfill the same results, but you do it now with ease and with joy and with peace. And it makes all of the difference in the world. Actually, you live up to a holier standard than the Old Testament ever drew you to. Here's another way of trying to say this. This is the Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right after he had been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how all, you know, there's the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, healings, and all of these different things. And he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. See, this is Paul trying to make the exact same point that I believe Jesus made when he says, a new commandment I give unto you. And then I took those scriptures out of 1 John chapter 2 saying it's not really a new commandment. And then the next verse says, but it is a new commandment. In other words, you still live holy, but now you do it under a totally different motivation. It's no longer you living, but now it's Christ living through you. It's the same, and yet it's totally brand new. And this is what Paul is talking about, that you could be flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and yet if it's not motivated by charity, which this is the old English word for God's kind of love, an agape love, then it profits you nothing. You're just sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. This is another way to try and get a point across, the same point that I've been making, that some people say, well, it's all about what you do. Are you doing the right things? Are you flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are you speaking in tongues? Are you doing this? You could be doing the right things and yet doing it with the wrong motivation, and it doesn't produce life on the inside of you. It actually can take away your life. You can be nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. All you're doing is making noise. You know, another way of phrasing this is over in Revelation chapter 2. The Lord was speaking to the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he says, you're doing all of these right things. Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll come back to it. Let me just read this to you out of Revelation chapter 2. This is where he wrote the letters to the seven churches of Asia. And here's what he told the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He says, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." Man, you would think this is pretty good. These are all compliments. This pastor was doing a great job. And yet it says in the fourth verse, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And see, this is another way of just saying that you could be as straight as a gun barrel and twice as empty. You can be doing all of the right things. You can be living a holy life. But if it's not love, it's not motivated by God's love and relationship with Him, or as Paul put it over in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's not me that lives, but it's Christ living through me. We have so many people that have adopted the Christian method of doing things, and they have a Christian set of morality, and they may be doing the right things, but they're doing it for all the wrong reasons. They're doing it out of a sense of debt and obligation, not as a response to how much God loves them. And again, I just don't have the words. I wished I had better words to say this, but it's a huge difference that I'm making. Some of you are doing the right things, but you aren't doing it motivated by God's kind of love. Paul said that you are just nothing but a noisy, clanging cymbal. You can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if it's not motivated by God's kind of love, it's just making noise. The next verse, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing." You know, this is talking about a person who's operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, can prophesy, understands the deep mysteries of God, and is operating in faith so strongly that they could remove a mountain by just talking to it. Most people would think, if you can do that, everything is fine. And yet he says, if I do that without God's kind of love, I am nothing. In the Christian life, it's not just about, you know, obtaining this result, about living this way, which is what religion has made it all about. I actually knew a guy one time who had people in his church who he knew that they would be out drinking and getting drunk and having sex on Saturday night, but on Sunday morning they would come and sit there. And he says, as long as their hair is piled up on their head, as long as they don't wear makeup and jewelry, as long as they do this and this and this, and they're at church, that's all I'm concerned about. He was just looking on the outward appearance. And if they were in church, and if they paid their tithes, and if they did a few things, well, then that was fine. He didn't care how they got there. But over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, the Lord spoke through Samuel and said, "Don't look on the height of his stature or on any of these external things, because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." God's not only concerned about whether you show up for church and whether you pay your tithes and whether you live a holy life, etc. He's looking at your heart. And if he doesn't have your heart, even if he's got your actions, God's not pleased with that. That's what this is saying. You could prophesy, you could remove mountains, your faith is so strong, and if you don't have God's kind of love, if it's not God flowing through you and doing it, if it's you doing it through your own strength and power, then you're nothing. And brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in love, but this is where a huge segment, a majority of the body of Christ lives, that they have adopted the Christian morality and the Christian things, but they don't have this vibrant relationship with God. It's not like Paul said, where it's Christ living through them, but they are just forcing themselves and holding themselves in, and they're doing certain things, sometimes through gritted teeth. And yet they force themselves to try and do the right thing. But they aren't motivated by God's kind of love. This is what Paul is teaching against. He says, you're nothing if that's the way you do it. In verse 3, 1 Corinthians 13, 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Well, that's an amazing statement. If you gave all of your goods to feed the poor, or even if you burned your body and sacrificed for somebody else and you didn't do it motivated by God's kind of love, if it wasn't a genuine concern for them, if you did it for yourself, which this is just my opinion, but I believe this to be true, that a tremendous amount of charity that we see in our society, the people don't love the people that they're giving to. They're doing this to soothe their own conscience. They are sacrificing themselves and giving things away, but it's not with God's kind of love. It's not really about that person. And I can tell you that this is so because in our Bible college, we've had people come to our Bible college who were. We actually started the Springs Rescue Mission out of our Bible college right here. And right now, the Springs Rescue Mission has fed, I don't even know, but over 1.5 million meals to people here in Colorado Springs. They are the largest distributor of clothes and furniture and things like this. They by far outstrip any of the government agencies. I mean, they are doing a fantastic job. And yet I've talked to these people, and they said that there is a tremendous amount of damage done by churches to the people who are homeless and destitute in Colorado Springs. And what he was talking about, he was saying that it basically is they just give money to these people. They throw things at them, and they aren't thinking about the person. They're doing it to salve their own conscience, and they give money to them. And these people, in a sense, they are subsidizing this lifestyle. And the people that run our Springs Rescue Mission, they are people who are in it to help those people. They aren't in it to soothe their conscience. And so, yes, they do help people and they give clothes and they do this, but they do it in a way that makes these people responsible. They help them get on their feet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I could talk a long time about that, but I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that, just like this verse is saying, they will give their goods to feed the poor. They'll even make sacrifices, but they aren't doing it because they love those people. They aren't really helping those people. When you just give a person a fish, that's not helping them. You have to teach them how to fish. And yet most people just do these token things. They give their change. They do something. And it's not motivated by God's kind of love. It's not this new commandment. They're just following a ritual. They hear other people talk about it. They're condemned into it. They feel like, well, I've got to do something. I've got to pay my part. I've got to do my part. And they're motivated by a fear of being rejected by people. And things like this, it's not motivated by God's kind of love. And the scripture here says that that profits you nothing. And then it goes into four verses here and it describes what God's kind of love is really like. And I will admit this, that in context, this is talking about God's kind of love will flow through you to other people, and here's how it acts. And so it's giving the characteristics of God's kind of love. But I want to say this, going back to the scripture that I've already used in John chapter 13, verse 34, where we love others the way that He has loved us. You can't give away what you don't have. If God's love compels us to live this way towards other people, I want to take these verses and put that back about if this is the way God's love is, then you need to understand that this is the way God's love is to you. And you receive these things for yourself. And then once you receive it for yourself, you can go show it to other people. So that's a little bit of a twist on exactly what these verses are talking about. But I believe it's absolutely true. If God's kind of love acts this way in our relationships with other people, well, then certainly God will act this way towards us. If God commands us to be merciful to others, then He'll be merciful towards us. If God tells us to turn the other cheek, then He will turn the other cheek. And so I think that there is merit in looking at this, not only in how God's love flows towards other people, but we need to take this and say, this is the way that God is to us. So look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 4, it says, charity, or God's kind of love, suffers long and is kind. Boy, this is amazing. Did you know that there are a lot of people that believe God has a short fuse? They believe that God is just ticked off. I've actually had people come to me before in my meetings, and after teaching on something like this, I remember this one guy saying that he saw God as an angry person with a big old long beard hanging over a rail, a banister in heaven with a lightning bolt in his hand, just looking for him to get out of line. And man, the first time he did something, God was going to punish him. God was going to get him. And now that may be over the top description, but you know what? There's a lot of people that honestly see God as an angry God, as a harsh God. And there's reasons that they have that attitude, because in the Old Testament you see a tremendous amount of wrath and punishment that came from God. I've got an entire teaching that deals with this entitled The True Nature of God. I hadn't got time to teach any right now, but it'll tell you why this wrath was so prominent in the Old Testament. And in the New Covenant, we now have a new covenant with the Lord, to where it says over in Hebrews chapter 8 that God will be merciful to our sins and our iniquities, and He won't remember them anymore. If you've got the impression that God has a short fuse, that God is ticked off, that God is just waiting for you to get out of line, then you know what? You need to renew your mind. If that's the way that you think God is to you, no wonder you're mean to other people, because you can't give away what you don't have. If that's the way that you feel God is treating you, you will just wind up reproducing this in your treatment to others. But I'm telling you, just like this says, God's kind of love suffers long and is kind. God suffers long and is kind. God is not easily ticked off at you. God is not mad at you. He's not even in a bad mood. You know, when I was in Vietnam, I was still learning about the grace of God. I'm still learning, but I'm saying I knew next to nothing about it back then. And I was trying to perform and witness and do the right things. And I just constantly failed, and I never was the person that I was supposed to be. And I honestly remember saying this. I wrote it in a letter, that I think God's through with me. I think God's just put me on a shelf. That, you know, God just can't tolerate me anymore, because I couldn't tolerate myself. But I have now come to realize that God is long-suffering and He's kind. You know, what a statement to think that God Almighty is kind. In the natural world, people who are in positions of authority aren't kind. They use the threat of, you know, punishment, termination from your job or whatever. They use that to manipulate and keep you in line. And it would be considered a weakness for a person who's in a position of authority and who could possibly do you wrong to just be kind towards you. But God Almighty, who is the greatest position of authority, I'm telling you that God is kind towards you. If you would let Him, God would say nice things to you. But there are people watching this and say, oh, God would never say anything nice to me. They might believe that God will tolerate them. Maybe God feels some kind of an obligation and a responsibility as Creator. He doesn't just want to wipe us all out, and so He will tolerate us, and He may let us sneak into heaven, but we're going to have a little cabin over in the corner of Glory Land. We certainly aren't going to have a mansion. We don't deserve anything good. Man, there's a huge segment of the body of Christ that thinks that way. And yet the Lord is building every single one of you who've accepted Jesus a mansion. He loves you. He's kind towards you. If you would let Him, God would say nice things to you. You know, I remember when Jamie and I were first getting started in the ministry, and we had been raised in the Baptist church, to where you got born again, and that was a dramatic, life-changing encounter. But then after that, basically, you're just saved and stuck, and the only thing to do is just lead somebody else to the Lord. And there wasn't such a thing as power and people healed and delivered and prosperity. You were just waiting on heaven. And when we first started getting around people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit and miracles were happening, I remember going to Catherine Kuhlman meetings and ushering there. And I mean, we saw miracle after miracle after miracle. People that I knew, I picked them up out of their wheelchair and put them in a seat for fire code regulations, and I know that they were miraculously healed. And I saw these people running and jumping and praising God. And I saw the power of God. I was so overwhelmed that Jamie and I just sat still for over an hour. We couldn't leave. Everybody else, after the meeting was over, they all were leaving, and we were just sitting there in the presence of God. It was like we were on holy ground. We couldn't move. And I was just thanking God and praising God. I remember that vividly. And I remember one time being in Omaha, Nebraska, having ministered, saw blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I saw people just stuck, just sitting there, shocked with the display of the power of God. And as I was driving from that meeting back to my hotel, I was just praising God and remembering when I was in that position. And now I was the one that God was flowing through, and we were seeing things happen. And I remember just praising God and saying, God, that's awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you for using me and flowing through me to touch somebody else's life. And as I was doing this, the Lord spoke to me and He said, well, thank you, Andrew. And you know what? When I first heard that, I thought, God wouldn't thank me. See, most of us have been raised with this impression that God is just this harsh, angry God, and regardless of how much you do, it's never enough. And that God would never say thank you. He'd never be kind to you like that. And I tell you, my old religious training rose up in me for just a moment, but I knew that that was God, and I just received it. And there's been many, many times that I've had God just say things to me about that He enjoys spending time with me, that He likes me. He doesn't just tolerate me. And I know that there's some of you watching this program that you can't even accept Him saying that to me. You would never let Him say something like that to you. And you know what? You aren't understanding the love of God. If you don't think that God is kind towards you, if you don't think that God will be nice towards you and compliment you and say things to you and say, you know, you look nice today. I like your dress. I like your suit. I like what you've done with your hair. If you don't think that God will ever be kind to you, then you know what? You won't wind up being kind to other people. You can't give away what you don't have. And this is one of the major reasons that most people aren't experiencing this joy and this love relationship with God is because they won't let God love them that way. I'm telling you, you need to recognize that God's kind of love, charity, it suffers long and it's kind. God is not the way many of us have had Him represented to us. And you know, I've just got a lot more to share on this, but I'm running out of time on today's program. I would like to encourage you that to please get this new set of teaching that I have out entitled, As I Have Loved You. And I go through these exact things. I'll be going through these exact scriptures. And if you can understand this, it will make a difference. If you would receive this love, then you could turn around and give this love. But you can't give what you don't have. And most of us do not have a working relationship of how much God loves us. You may have information, but it's not experiential. And I tell you, this would help you to experience God's love. It would transform your life. I think it would be a tremendous blessing to you. So our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to please call or write and request this new teaching. And I not only have it in a CD format, but I have a DVD as seen on TV, and I'd encourage you to get it. So the information is on your screen. Our announcer is going to come on. Please respond. Please call or write today. And then join me again next Monday as we continue this teaching on As I Have Loved You.
In 1996, students from Caris Bible College began providing sandwiches to the homeless in parks and under bridges in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Soon, they opened a food pantry in one room of the already overcrowded Bible College. Little did they know that these small steps would one day lead to an organization with an annual budget of more than $2.5 million. As the Springs Rescue Mission celebrates its 14th year of building hope and saving lives, more than 1,450,000 meals have been provided to the hungry and homeless, opening a doorway to hope for a better life through recovery programs, emergency services, counseling, and job training.
Compassionate people hearing the message that Andrew was preaching about the love of God and then taking that and doing something with it.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. Find out what's happening with the World Changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Caris Bible College today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, As I Have Loved You, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The second audio teaching in today's series is titled, God's Love Never Fails. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled, The True Nature of God. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website. While there, you can discover more product details and download free additional resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through the 6th. In the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 26th through the 28th. In Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 16th through the 18th. And in Charlotte, North Carolina, for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 9th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you an invitation to join me on July the 2nd through the 6th for our Summer Family Bible Conference. I tell you, this is always a highlight of the year. We're going to have children's ministry. We have hundreds of children that are ministered to in a very special way. We have special CBC information and registration. We will have the morning sessions. We'll all be our normal CBC hours. I'll be ministering every evening. We'll have our CBC band and choir ministering. It's just a great time, so make plans to join me on July the 2nd through the 6th. You can go to our website for more information.
Don't forget the special barbecue lunch and concert Wednesday, July 4th. Tickets are only $15 for adults and $10 for children ages 5 through 9. Tickets must be purchased online no later than Monday, June 25th. The 2012 Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through 6th at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Log on to awmi.net for registration information.